Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. It's the Saturday show. Thanks for being here. Talladega Xfinity Series should be a fun afternoon. I'm excited. You're excited. Let's get to it. Let's lay down our commandments first, our rules, our tenets, our principles. Stack in the back. Stack in the back. We're chasing place differential, cars that survive the carnage, cars that make runs at the end. It happens. It will happen. Rule number two, 30 to 10 to win. When you're narrowing down your pool and finding those drivers in the back, you need to envision them scoring around 50 fantasy points. We'll explore that a little bit further. But basically, if you start 30th, you go to 10th, that's around 50 fantasy points. Or 29 to 9, 28 to 8, you get the general idea. So as you're narrowing down those guys in the back, you need to not only envision them surviving the chaos or making a run at the end, but they also need to maximize their finishing position. If they're only finishing 15th from the back, then maybe that's not a driver you want to go heavy on. And then third, and probably the most important, besides stacking the back and 30 to 10 to win, is the idea, the concept, the belief that you don't have to build the optimal lineup. And that is very important when we are building in the Xfinity Series, because we see that occasionally some of these drivers starting closer to the front, especially in the Xfinity Series, can end up in the optimal lineup, but they have tremendous downside. They have very low floors that could result in you not cashing. So, you know, not necessarily making a push for building cash lineups, but there is safety and just trying to build the winning lineup. Don't try to build the optimal. Try to build the winning. More often than not, you can stay away from building the optimal and still score a lot of fantasy points with an alternative pick that may not be as good as Austin Hill or score as many points, but very well could get you to the top of the leaderboard. So there's always pivots. You can watch some of my previous videos throughout the week where I show, hey, yeah, the optimal lineup had this driver starting up front, but if you go down a couple spots lower, you could have had a safer pick that scored plenty of fantasy points that likely would have resulted in the winning lineup. So I would play the percentages there. So again, one more time, stack in the back, 30 to 10 to win. Don't try to build the optimal lineup, build the winning lineup. Before we go over those drivers, we might as well stick with that theme of 50 fantasy points and look at previous Daytona races, Talladega races. And so we see if you want a top 10 DFS score and you're trying to get those drivers in and you're not necessarily building the optimal lineup, obviously you want optimal, it's 50 points or higher, but there are alternatives and safer picks that score around 45, but we're looking at 45 to 50 fantasy points there. Daytona, again, we go back further, 45 to 50 fantasy points. So when you're making your picks, we want to be able to find drivers that can get over that line of 45 to 50. We'll go back even further to Daytona. We're seeing similar numbers again. Let's fly over here to Talladega, see if the trend pretty much continues. And here's our cutoff line, 50 fantasy points. That's what you're going to need out of your driver. That's when we're narrowing down our pool in the back and trying to see, okay, what makes this guy in the back better than this guy? Can he finish a little bit further? Is he more likely to hit over that range? So that is what we are trying to see. And so that's our target. That's our general rule. And again, going back to that, just build the winning lineup. Yeah. You look at, let me see if we can find someone who didn't really maximize place differential, like a Daniel Hemric, who scores 45 fantasy points, starts closer to the front, and wasn't actually in that optimal lineup. Interesting. You got guys starting up front like Jeb Burton, who is in the optimal lineup. Oh, well, I wasn't going to be as bold to play him. That's fine. If you're trying to build optimal, yeah, you're going to think about playing Jeb Burton starting up front and winning the race. But you don't have to, because you could just clearly pivot down to Cole Custer starting 18th or Greg Galding. Oops, didn't mean to do that. Starting 26th. That's a winning lineup. That was likely the winning lineup. You didn't have to be that bold. You didn't have to be perfect. You didn't have to build the optimal lineup. Greg Galding only scored 2 points fewer than the actual race winner starting closer to the front. That's my advice to you when you're building the lineup today. But again, you can go however you want. You can be as cute as you want. You can try, well, I'm going to differentiate. You can differentiate, and that's fine. And you can try to build the optimal lineup, but I don't think that necessarily is the strategy that you need to employ. And so you can see here 50 fantasy points in the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, which you can get at RaceForThePrize.com. Yes, you can. And you just PayPal, Venmo, Cash App the money over to me. If you decide to buy the May package for $30, get all the May races. I'll throw in Talladega. I'll throw in Dover. I'm a nice guy. I want you to be a part of this. I want to save you time. I want to make it easy for you. I want you to have fun. We're having fun over here. We're having a movement. We're growing. We're exploding. It's awesome. Things are going. Be a part of this. Join the team. Get in the YouTube comments. Dice it up. Chop it up. Enjoying all the conversations. Again, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App the money over to me. Share the sheets to you. And you can rock and roll over here. So we go back. 50 fantasy points is what we are targeting. And you can see right here with the projection, if I see them going under that. Like Josh Williams, I don't know if he can get there. And you're going to have to factor in not just with the ceiling projections, which these basically are, can they get over this number? But then you need to, in your mind, also envision the downside, the probability that they can get over that number. Anyway, 50 fantasy points at your target, and you can see right here who I have kind of going over it, under it, guys I can easily eliminate from my pool. I can also go over here into the optimizer sheet and see them ranked in terms of top points. And so clearly, these drivers probably, I don't know if they can get over the hump. They could, but then I can look at this pool of drivers and see, all right, what are the probabilities? Who's more likely to get over this hump? Who has more of a downside, and then start to narrow down from there. Because all of these guys are going to be in play for me, and I don't really need to necessarily get the biggest score. I'm not necessarily chasing like who can score the most fantasy points. I just want to see from this pool, from 50 on up, who's probably percentage-wise more likely to safely get above 50? Who do the odds tend to favor to get over 50. If we run this race 1,000 times, how many more times do they get over 50? You know, you can do it in your head. So as I don't try to build the optimal lineup, I don't play Austin Hill. I clearly understand that he can lead a lot of laps. So I'll factor that in. He can win the race and he can shoot well above the mark at 60 and score a bunch of fantasy points. And I know that he has been good at Atlanta. He has been good at Daytona, but he hasn't been that great at Talladega. I don't think you need to put too much into that. He can clearly run away. ECR engines have been pretty exceptional at this track. And one of the things I've noted in the spreadsheet, you see these names that are italicized. You may be surprised to see, why was Patrick Emmerling so fast in a Bobby Dotter car? His teammate wasn't fast in a Bobby Dotter car. His teammate, actually Mason Massey, was probably the slowest. Well, that's because, as I noted with these italicized drivers, they have ECR engines this week. Patrick Emmerling has an ECR engine. Gase has an ECR engine. Kyle Weatherman has an ECR engine. Cesar Baccarella, the owner of Alpha Prime, supplements Alpha Prime apparel. And self-made man. I was doing some research on Baccarella. I didn't know. The dude grew up just a dad. His mom left them. His dad ran a pizza parlor. Baccarella was working in the pizza parlor at 5 years old and pretty much built an empire. It's pretty impressive. And now Alpha Prime has a racing team. He's been doing all kinds of sports car racing throughout his career. He always jumps in during the super speedways. And this week when he jumps in, he's like, you know what? Go ahead and give me one of those ECR engines as well. They seem pretty good. Leland Honeyman for Young also has one. So plenty of power in these cars if you want to boost them up and maybe boost up their finishing position, and which increases their upside. I don't know if that necessarily increases their likelihood of finishing inside the top 10 and surviving the carnage or chaos. But, you know, one of the things that you could factor in is, hey, if it's Cesar Baccarella and Dawson Cram at the end, well, clearly he's going to have a more dependable car and a little bit more power, which should, in theory, increase his finishing position, which should give him a boost and make him more likely to get over that 50 fantasy point hump. Anyway, so Hill, Love, obviously ECR power showing up. They can lead out front all day. But as we saw, the downside of Jesse Love at Daytona, anything can happen in these races. Again, I'm not trying to build optimal, so I'm not worried about it. Parker Kligerman, I'm not trying to build optimal. He can have a good day. He can win the race. I don't see him leading a bunch of laps, but say he survives and wins the race and scores 52 fantasy points, I can get 50 fantasy points out of someone in the back with much less risk. Again, not building optimal. Cole Custer, not chasing him, not building up to him. If you want to chase these guys in the top 10, that is fine. As you get closer to Herbst, maybe you start thinking about it. But again, 55 fantasy points, probably where his ceiling will be. I don't need it. I think I can get a better play elsewhere. I don't need to be cute. I don't need to be optimal. If you want to try to be different and put him in, that's fine. But again, as we get closer towards the back, we move towards the back, we get place differential, and we start warming up. I'm not quite ready to jump on Williams. I know it's a colored car. It should be good. Just, I don't need to go there. Creed, I think the downside with him being Sheldon Creed is just too much for me to risk. I know he's starting to get in that 10 sweet spot where we tend to see in optimal lineups from 10 to 20, we do see top tier rides come through, and we will start to look at these drivers, but given it's Sheldon Creed, again, I don't want the risk. I can get 50 fantasy points from someone else. I don't mind staying away. Alfredo probably going to limit the upside. Does have decent amount of super speedway experience. But again, he's just starting too close to the front. If I'm playing someone in this range, I want a top tier car like a Gibbs car, not the top of the mid pack. Hey, it's exciting to see Emmerling in a fast car, but there's just no way you're playing him. Taylor Gray, you can start having conversations about maybe possibly, but again, he's going to get you around 50 fantasy points. If he gets to third, maybe he's more likely to finish a little bit lower than that, best case scenario. Don't want to go there. AJ Allmendinger, we've seen hit plenty of times, so he is someone that you definitely can go, and I wouldn't say this is too cute. 14th, he's won these races. He's routinely on the podium at a super speedway. I don't mind it at all. He knows what he is doing. He has a very good relationship with the team, obviously. That is fine by me. I don't see that as being too cute. I don't see playing AJ as being chasing the optimal. But if you want to get different, because everyone is probably going to feel pretty safe and secure with AJ, and you say, hey, well, I don't really need him again, that is fine. But he does have the ability to score around 60 fantasy points, just like Austin Hill does. But Austin Hill really has to have a tremendous day, has to really run away with it, has much more of a floor. Whereas I see, you know, you run this race 100 times, who's more likely to hit 60 fantasy points? I would favor AJ Allmendinger in that circumstance. And because he has a higher probability of hitting that number, then I do like favoring him over other drivers. Like, well, I can get another guy that can get 50 fantasy points. I don't know if I can get another driver and get 60 fantasy points. And at 60, there is enough of a difference that maybe missing AJ in your lineup could cost you from being number one. Not having AJ is probably not going to knock you out of cashing, but there is the possibility there. I think the scenario or the outcomes of AJ not being in your lineup and knocking you out of winning the big GPP, the 20K, could be something you need to think about. Now that we have these top tier drivers in the teens, these are fine. You know, you draw the line in the sand wherever you want. Typically, people in the Cup Series say, oh, 20 and back, 25th and back. We move that line closer to the front in the Xfinity Series. And I've explained this in previous videos based on the disparity in equipment and the results that we see, where typically the top tier teams tend to finish and crowd out the top 10. Whereas in the Cup Series, we do see just about everyone having a really good shot at finishing in the top 10. In the Xfinity Series, the top 10 is usually filled mainly with top tier equipment. And so you move the line a little bit further, and Mayer, Allgaier are fine plays. Don't mind it at all. You can put them in. Again, you don't have to play them. You want to chase in the back, but I don't really necessarily need to stack completely my lineup in the back. You got six drivers to pick from. If you're taking a couple guys in the front, Mayer, Allgaier, definitely worth consideration. Gase, good car, but I'm just not going to see it. SVG did get that third place finish at Atlanta. It is a colored car. He is in the same situation as these drivers. Again, I wouldn't build a lineup with AJ, Sam, Justin, and SVG. But Van Gisbergen could be in your lineup. He could be one of the guys that you got closer to the front. You got three or four drivers from the back. He is going to be in the pool of guys filling out where you take a guy towards the front. That is fine by me. But again, if he gets to fifth, it's 52 fantasy points. Allgaier, AJ probably at the top, then Mayer so far, then SVG. David Starr, underlined here because they have a Hendrick engine in the car. And that's why you're seeing speed here. Too cute for me. Kyle Weatherman, ECR car. You could maybe give him a boost here, but getting him to eighth, which again, the top 10 is going to be filled out with mainly top-tier cars. There will be spots unless there's total carnage. But again, if I'm taking a mid-pack driver, 20th, probably a little bit too closer. Parker Retzlaff may be the next best super speedway racer. Fifth at Atlanta, 16th in his Atlanta race before that. 3, 6, and 4 at Daytona's. Seventh last year at Talladega. Does he have something special? Well, we do know that Jordan Anderson cars are pretty, pretty fast. So, and they've had success. Jeb Burton's won in this car. We know that, you know, the other two Anderson cars probably did not show up very well. Jordan Anderson tweeted that, you know, we didn't get practice. That hurt us, but we'll tune on the cars. You know, if you want to worry about it, worry about it. Clearly didn't hurt Parker back. Parker starting 21st, top five upside. He's in my pool. Jeremy Clements, think he probably lacks a little upside. I don't have him going up that high. Again, if I'm taking towards the middle of the backpack, then the mid-pack drivers, probably not on my radar. He does have some success. Atlanta 6th, won at Daytona years ago in a crazy one. It could happen. Talladega results, not quite as good. I would rather chase more place differential. Brandon Jones, it's a top-tier car, plenty of experience, but we know how Brandon Jones rolls, but you still need to play. He still deserves consideration in the spot in your pool, considering he is starting 23rd, has a car that can get around 5th place, as long as he doesn't do anything stupid, although he tends to do stupid stuff and just be Brandon Jones. He's in the pool. Ryan Sieg, Atlanta, not the greatest results. Thought he was close at Atlanta a couple years ago, if I remember correctly. Daytona, you know, okay. But you look at Talladega, really good results. Well, they're the same. They shouldn't be different. I don't know. For whatever reason, sometimes some drivers do better at Talladega. No one has ever been able to explain this to me. No one will ever be able to explain this to you. If you wanted to say, that doesn't mean anything, I completely understand and accept that. But Sieg has produced pretty good results over the years, the team at Super Speedways. Ryan's fine with me. He can get over the 50-point, got him with a 6-point clearance. We're starting in the back. Kyle will be a little lesser of a play. I would much rather go with the experience of Ryan, knows what he's doing more. Blaine Perkins would probably be the lowest of the seed cars. Not much success at the super speedways. I've got him below. You want to pivot just because you're stacking the back, that's fine. But Jones, see more upside than Kyle and Blaine. Brendan Poole, he's in the back. He has experience. He can get it done. Did finish fifth at Talladega last year. That's fine. Again, I'd probably go to Siegs and Jones first. The pool's there. Matt DiBenedetto. Oh, one of the things I did also want to mention with Parker Retzlaff, Chad Kendrick, his crew chief, was the crew chief for Matt DiBenedetto when DiBenedetto won in the Truck Series at Talladega a couple seasons ago. Or was it? Yeah, it was 2 seasons ago or last season? A couple seasons ago. So if you want to put some added flair into Parker Retzlaff. DiBenedetto, it's a seed car. Tons of experience, you know, I would have liked to see him qualify better, but he didn't qualify that far off from the other seed cars. Not going to put too much behind laying down one fast lap without practice at Talladega running cold. He knows what he's doing. He has experience. He's in your pool. I would elevate him clearly above Poole, Perkins, Sieg. Everyone will. So you're going to get a lot of ownership, but I'm not really worried about it. Does he work for stacking the back? Yes. 28-8. Yes. Could he be in the winning lineup? Not necessarily the optimal lineup. I think clearly, yes. Cesar Baccarella, he's got the power in the car, has experience, was optimal last season at Talladega with a sixth place finish. Yeah, I would clearly put him in my pool. And I probably would rather play him over Poole, Perkins, and Sieg. Definitely over Cram. I don't see a lot of upside with Dawson Cram. Not a lot of experience at Super Speedways. I think almost none. Maybe ran a Talladega race, I believe, finished outside the top 30 in the trucks, outside the top 30 in the Xfinity Series. Haley Deegan's interesting. I know it hasn't been the greatest season, but if there's a place where she can just randomly turn it around, it would be here. And if you look at her recent races at Talladega in the Truck Series, the last two, 2023, 2022, she has top 10 finishes. And I don't think there's much of a difference. Plate races, Super Speedways, whatever the series may be, Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Cup Series, finishing those races, getting top 10s matters. She's got top 10s in the last two. I know it's been rough, but really, like, what you've done up to this point doesn't really matter. If you wrecked an intermediate track, struggled at short tracks, it just doesn't matter. Is this AM Racing car competitive enough? Yeah, it'll be fast enough. They've been doing Super Speedways for years. I know, you know, Xfinity, Truck, ARCA, they know what they're doing. It's just a matter of her not messing up, and she did that in the last two truck races. Jordan Anderson, I know at Atlanta, the third car, but it wasn't Jordan Anderson. It was Ryan Vargas. It was clearly a Mike Harmon car early in the week. It was a Mike Harmon car all throughout. That's not the case this week. Anderson's success at Super Speedways as a team, as a driver, very popular play. 30-10 to win. Yeah, he can get there. Leland Honeyman, not a lot of experience, but he's going to have the power. It is risky. You'd rather go with some of these more experienced Super Speedway drivers. And Jeb Burton, again, starting in the back, just didn't have the cars tuned up right. They should be fine in the race. They're going to be very popular. Jeff Earnhardt's let us down plenty of times, but runs lots of Super Speedways. It's a hunt car. It's going to have enough speed. 30-10 to win. Sure he does. He's going to be firmly in the pool. He's going to be elevated. Burton's going to be elevated. And then, yeah, you can chase these guys absolutely in the back again. Carnage, chaos, mayhem. Balicki's fine, but I think you're going to get more upside with Earnhardt, Anderson. And so if we're chasing the winning lineup and we're really trying to hit that 30-10 to win, then these guys are more likely to maximize finishing position points and get you there and definitely help you more. Like, you know, we chase these guys and they are going to hurt us in terms of like the optimal lineup guys, the points that we miss out on. Like, we envision the top 10 at the end of the day at Talladega. Let's just look at, we'll look at Daytona, whatever. And so you've got the top tier drivers scoring a bunch of points, and we wanted to pivot to someone not close to the front. So we need people that are going to maximize and not cost us too many points. We want to get a guy that's going to finish in the top 10, not really one of these guys that's going to, like Joey Gay starts 36. I think that's the perfect example. 36th, 18th, has a terrific day, will help you cash. But as far as a pivot away from being optimal, a pivot away that still gets you into that 20K, Gase wasn't going to get you there. And that's probably going to be the scenario for the drivers like Josh Balicki, Ryan Ellis, and Massey. They can get a top 20 score, probably top 15, but there's going to be two or three better plays from the back. Although we do need to mention that Ryan Ellis is in the Four Loko Jungle Juice car. Always exciting to see adult beverages, especially the more wacky ones on the race cars. Even though Four Loko took out the caffeine or whatever, it was the taurine, thank goodness, because they were having some problems with that. Remember old Four Loko? Millennials, older millennials, wild times for their people. Mason Massey, I think, lacks effort. So that pretty much covers those drivers. So as we wrap up here, hopefully this helps give you an idea. Again, we can just look over at the pool of projected points. Burton, yeah, go heavy on that. AJ showing up number two, that's fine by me. Austin Hill has a lot of upside and potential, but I think there's a bunch of risk, and I just say, hey, I don't play him, and I'll just take, you know, 56 fantasy points from Ryan Sieg, call it a day, who I think is a safer play. He's not going to kill my lineups, and we run this race a bunch of times, and I can see him getting to that number just as often as Austin Hill gets to that number. Maybe I miss out on a couple points. Oh, I didn't have Austin Hill. Well, I still have Ryan Sieg, and if I get my other guys to survive the race, I think I'll be fine. Like, oh, I nailed the Austin Hill pick, but then I missed on another pick, so I'm toast. It's really about getting all six picks right rather than getting all six picks perfect. Six picks into the top 10, top 15 in scoring. Six drivers that survive rather than six perfect picks. So could Austin Hill be a perfect pick? Yes. But again, I'm really just trying to look at this pool and get six guys in. Six guys that are going to score a bunch of fantasy points more often than not. Jordan Anderson, you got to like it. Jeff Earnhardt, maybe downgrade Earnhardt a little bit lower. That's fine by me. I mean, not really because of equipment, but just because he hasn't been as successful as a Jordan Anderson or Jordan Anderson equipment. Allgaier, I know he's starting close to the front. Smith, I don't need to go there. And I don't think he has much more upside, much higher floor or lower floor. Ryan Sieg, good. Herbst is in that spot starting position-wise where he starts to score plenty of fantasy points. But again, I'd rather chase guys in the back, given the possibility of wrecks, given the possibility of just the freight train unloading at the end. You know, I like Parker as well. I think that there is something special maybe brewing. I don't need to necessarily chase Truex. I'd rather go stacking in the back. And again, the points aren't that much different between these drivers, right? They're all in the same range. And so if they're all in the same range above 50, then give me the guys in the back because this is a super speedway. There are wrecks. There is carnage. And it opens up plenty of opportunities. Sammy Smith is where it starts to, you know, we think about these drivers. Taylor Gray, probably a little bit too much for me. Sam Mayer, I think I definitely more than Sammy Smith. Actually, I don't think I like Sammy Smith that much. Sam Mayer, Brandon Jones, starting behind the 20 line. Parker Kligerman, he can get over it, but you don't need to do it. Sheldon Creed, you can think about it. I'm not going to go there. SVG is fine starting closer to the back as one of the guys in your lineup, but I wouldn't put him with a bunch of guys in the front. If you're building a lineup without Allgaier or without AJ, you can go to SVG. That's fine by me. DiBenedetto, I like a lot. He's over the hump. Now, again, it is a marked difference between these drivers getting 60. Obviously, these guys are a little bit better plays, but DiBenedetto is in the pool of guys where you're stacking the back. You need six drivers. You need six drivers over 50 fantasy points. It's fine. Honeyman, probably a little bit lower on just because of his lack of experience. I would go more heavy on DiBenedetto, but he is going to be one of the guys that you're just throwing in if you're stacking in the back. Loves a no. Sieg, Weatherman, right in the spot where I'm like, but yeah, I look, seed cars are fine here, so that's okay. Baccarella has got a little bit better of an engine, was optimal, so yeah, he is in, but he's not going to be one of the heavy guys that I stack. And then pretty much from here back, I mean, you can take these drivers if you're stacking in the back. Poole, Ellis, Balicki, Alfredo's a no-go. Haley Deegan only showing up as 44 fantasy points. Why am I not giving her enough respect? What do I got her finishing at? Eighth? Or I've got her finishing 15th. Let's bump that up to 13. Hey, all right, 48. Still not quite one of my favorites, but you can't completely take her out of the field. She is in the back, and we have seen that this tends to be a really strong spot in the Xfinity Series. 30th and back. And let me go ahead and show that up on the screen. If we go down and look at previous optimal lineups, obviously the drivers starting up towards the front don't score a lot of fantasy points because they can't, because place differential is denied to them. And so they don't show up in very many of the optimal lineups over the years. We see the teens start to hit more because you have guys like AJ Allmendinger this week starting in the teens, Sam Mayer, Justin Allgaier, SVG, good equipment that can win races, get top threes, but not necessarily perfect either. We see a little bit more heat in the 20s, but then we see a really good sweet spot here back in the 30s. So, and it's simply because they can maximize place differential. These races can get very hairy. And I would say that that number might be slightly inflated by Daytona's, but you'd have to look a little bit closer at that. So given those numbers, yeah, I don't mind. I'm not going to go to Massey, but Ellis and Balicki are in consideration. But here you go. I mean, look, there's your sweet spot right there. And then we flip right back. There it is. Those are the drivers that I would go heavy on. You sprinkle in a couple more guys starting in the 20s, and then maybe you play one or two of these drivers up here, which I don't mind at all. That pretty much wraps it up. Hopefully that was helpful, giving you an idea. Again, stack in the back, 30-10 to win. You don't have to build the optimal lineup, build the winning lineup. You're shooting for around 50 fantasy points when you're narrowing down your pool, which you can see in the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, which you can get at racefortheprize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. And even if you don't want to buy the May package, maybe you just want to send a tip, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, it's on the screen. It helps out with the three D's, diapers, daycare, and Mickey D's. I know we're not doing diapers anymore, thank God. And the daycare is technically not kindergarten yet. It's down the road. That'll be a nice savings. But right now it's babysitters. They ain't cheap. And then third, Mickey D's. Got to get those chicken nuggies. Got to get the Happy Meal. Got to rock and roll. I'll spare you my secret menu tips for today, but it helps me, and so if you help me, I try to help you with the videos, with the content. Leave a like, subscribe, share, recruit more people to this thing. Thanks for coming. Leave your comments. Really appreciate it. Blessed to have you guys around. Love you guys. Trip to Light, fantastic.